be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This week, the NCAA men's basketball tournament started. Now, this is a great time for anyone who is remotely interested in basketball because you have great games on television pretty much all day for Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. I can remember as a child, I would try to get home as quickly as possible after school so that I could catch the afternoon games and find out what had happened in the morning games, and how I was absolutely disgusted that the television coverage dared stop to show the local and national news. You know, what priorities did people have there? If you watched any of the games so far, you could see very clearly that there are different styles of teams. There are different styles of players, and there are different ways that they like to try to go about winning the game. If you watch Purdue, they like to slow the pace down, play tough man-to-man defense in a half court, and really grind it out. North Carolina wants to run up and down the court. They want to score points quickly in transition. They want to create turnovers and fast breaks. Syracuse likes to play a tough 2-3 zone. And a lot of the smaller schools that can't compete inside like to shoot three-pointers to try to level out the playing field. But with all of the different styles, and even if you don't know a thing about basketball and what any of that means, you can still figure out very clearly the object of the game. You can narrow it down to the basics. It's pretty simple. Put a leather ball through an iron hoop. You have defense trying to stop the opposing team from putting a leather ball through an iron hoop. You have your offense trying to put the leather ball through the iron hoop. The styles are merely a means to an end, trying to get more points at the end of the game than your opponent. However, you manage to do that. Today's scripture readings, each in their own way, really get right down to the basics of what scripture is all about. At the heart, at its core, what is the Bible really all about? Well, there's an awful lot of history in the Bible. There are letters in the Bible. There are prophecies, judgments, promises, poems, proverbs, songs, and even apocalyptic literature. The Bible follows many different lives in the history, and it follows Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, Moses, David, follows Paul. All of these different storylines, all of these different kinds of writings, and what do all of these seemingly independent events, people, and kinds of writings have in common? Well, you can sum up basketball by speaking about defense and offense and scoring more points than your opponent. You can sum up the scriptures by speaking of the law of God and the gospel, by speaking of sin and grace, by speaking of God's plan to save sinners. You can look at Ephesians chapter 2 or any of the other readings and find the basics in today's set of readings. This is the point the Apostle Paul is trying to make in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 2, he's trying to strip away everything else and get to the real core of what it means to be a Christian. Paul begins with these words, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." You were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Not dying, not sick, not struggling with, but dead. The reality of death is brought on by our sin. Sin brings death. Of course, we kind of know this instinctively anyway. If we sin against our spouse by cheating on them, then it can very easily cause the death of a relationship. If you badmouth someone, if you assault their character with your words, you can very quickly put to death their reputation. If you act contrary to what you know is right, you can begin to put to death your own conscience. Sin brings death. But sin brings death in even more devastating ways. Because you have sinned. You have not done what God has commanded, and you have done things God has commanded you not to do. You will die. Physically, you will die. And so will I. And if you die physically, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, there is eternal death. No one wants to die an eternal death. No one wants to spend eternity apart from God. So what can we do about it? Is there anything we can do about it? Several years back, when I was in grade school, Loyola Marymount was making an improbable run in the tournament. They were a number 11 seed coming into the NCAA tournament, and they were not expected to do all that well. But they made it to the Elite Eight, losing to the eventual winning team that year. But what made that run so incredible was not just that they were an 11 seed, a low-ranked team doing well, but the fact that during their conference tournament, their best player collapsed on the court and died. Hank Gathers, their best player, averaged more points per game, more rebounds per game than anyone in the country that year. He scored over 32 points a game, averaged over 13 rebounds a game, but he had a heart problem, and during the conference tournament, in the middle of play, he collapsed and he died on the court. Loyola Marymount had the perhaps best player in the country. They had the player who averaged more points, more rebounds than anyone else in the whole country, but it wasn't going to help them in the tournament because he had died. The talent that he had would no longer be able to contribute to that team. This is the point Paul is making in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You can't do a thing about it. Hank Gathers couldn't help his team anymore. You are dead in your trespasses, in your sins. You could not do a thing about it. Because a dead person can't do anything." Which is where Christ comes in. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, in his great love for you, sent Jesus to take the punishment for sin, to take your death upon himself, to die your death on the cross, and to give you in exchange life. Life now and life everlasting. He sent Jesus to accomplish what you could not. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At its most basic level, this is what the Bible is all about. We've sinned, and the law of God tells us that the punishment for sin is death, but the gospel of God says Jesus takes that death and gives you life. We deserve punishment for sin, but instead God gives us his forgiveness He gives us his love. He gives us his grace. God gives us an escape from punishment and gives us life everlasting. This is what Scripture is all about. God's great love for sinners. A love that was so great he was willing to sacrifice that which was the most important to him, his only son, to buy you back. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.